Welcome to CBSSports.com basketball podcast, the Pick and Troll podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. I'm avoiding car crashes all over the icy roads here in Minneapolis. Matt Moore, are you doing the same in Denver?
It is clear. We've had, I think, like two minor snows, and that's it. It's been really weird. Really? Everyone's keeps telling me it's going to be a really harsh winter. Apparently, this one's just like sneaking up on me because it's been really dry, and we actually need it. There's been like fires in the mountains and stuff again. So
yeah, it was really dry, and then this past weekend it snowed for like 18 straight hours, and it was like, I don't know, 10 to 12 inches of snow, and it's like a snow emergency. I don't know what that means. This is my first. I mean, I lived here last winter, which was my first like real cold weather winter outside of California, and it wasn't that bad. There was like one or two snows the entire time, but something called a snow emergency. Like I'm a California guy. Like this is not news. These are not terms that I know.
Yeah, see, I grew up in Arkansas, so it's actually, to me, snow is way better than ice. That's what I'm used to, is like ice storms.
Yeah,
which are a nightmare. But yeah, I mean. Yeah, you know, I grew up in Arkansas and then went to school in Missouri, so I've just been dealing with cold weather for most of my life. And everyone, like my wife, is like, "Oh, but don't you like the seasons?" And you like you bundle up, and I'm like, "I don't care." Like your odds of getting into a car wreck like rise exponentially.
I just saw one, literally just saw one.
Like, just not worth it. It makes me crazy that people like this kind of stuff. I mean, I chose to live out in Colorado because there's a lot of great things about it, but I don't go outside. That's why I'm a blogger. I don't go outside.
Right. Yo, I'll say the snow looks beautiful from our apartment. Looks fantastic. Once I go out there, though, it's all over.
My favorite kind of experience when I lived in Austin, Texas, it was going to hit all the way down to 30 degrees. And my apartment complex put out big signs that said, "Prepare for freeze." Like, totally serious.
Oh, my God.
And my wife still makes fun of that. She's like, "Prepare for freeze!"
That's when I would have like just made this like Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze cutout and just put it on my roof.
There's that's a fantastic idea. There was like a snow where they got like an inch and a half in Austin, and no one went to work.
Jesus.
Like no one. Like the entire city shut down.
Wow.
It was hilarious. It was like gone by like 1 o'clock. It was hilarious.
You know what's not gone yet? Kevin Love from Minneapolis.
The locals, they are restless.
Ooh, the locals were chomping at the bit last night. They, Kevin Love had an awful game. His defense was okay in the second half. His rebounding was pretty good for most of the game. And his offense was just terrible. His defense in the first half was terrible. And I think he finished 3 of 17 from the field. And the Timberwolves still won, which kind of plays to Kevin Love's point in the in the Woj article of he's been hoping for a playoff team to play on, and if he's playing horrible, and they're still beating good teams in the West, you know, it kind of shows like this is what he wants, and yet he played horrible the day after this article came out, and now it's like Loveageddon.
Maybe Apocalove. Maybe that's about it.
Oh, Apocalove, that's good.
Apocalove. Two things. One, they did win that game, although I would attribute most of that to Ty Lawson's continuing derp-a-derp during the final minute and a half of any basketball game.
You know who was deadly? Gallo was deadly last night in the fourth.
I thought Lawson was going to be the closer, and it needs to be Gallo, and that's really weird, but it just is. The Nuggets just could not get out of their own way last night. I feel like they could have won that game. They just could not get out of their own way.
Definitely.
Which is kind of the story of their first half of their season. But if he was going to have a bad game, Love, that was not the game to have it. Although I will say, Farid gives him problems because he's such an athletic, hyper-energy guy. He kind of cancels out a little bit of what Love does.
Definitely.
Which is weird, because he should kill, like, theoretically, especially offensively, he should just murder Farid because Farid can't guard in space.
And Love got a lot of good shots. I mean, he just missed shots. And I even asked him after the game. I said, are you feeling any pressure, or did the ball feel weird coming off your hands? Because there were a couple of hook shots that were really short. And he said it was just one of those nights. Like I just couldn't get anything to drop. It was just one of those nights. He couldn't explain it.
And that happens. It just bad that it happened on that night.
Yep. Bad timing.
I, And it's weird because I'm you know, you kind of downplayed it. I guess, give me an indication. The media is obviously very much on this train of, like the big star player got this huge contract and now he's complaining, which completely ignores all of the context around what happened.
Yeah.
But how are the fans reacting? Because I'm getting some blowback this morning on Twitter from Timberwolves folks, especially of the most ridiculous, like, argument, which is the, how can you say that you can lean on him in the playoffs? He hasn't won anything. And I'm like, have you seen the team he's had?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I feel like we've had this idea that a star player should always get his team to the playoffs.
And which is weird because most places will say that a star player should get his team in the playoffs and then win.
Yeah.
But Minnesota's like, no, well, Kevin Garnett couldn't win, so clearly that's not the case. And it's, to me, that's what a lot of this comes down to, is they're like, well, what about what Kevin Garnett did? And I'm like, well, Kevin Garnett didn't take you anywhere. Like, he got you to the first round.
And Kevin Garnett, in his prime, you know, his best year was 2003-04, where they went to the Western Conference Finals. That was the last year they made the playoffs, and he played three more seasons here.
And no one remembers that.
You know, they didn't make the playoffs his last three seasons, and he was still Kevin Garnett. Kobe, you know, the year after the Lakers trade Shaq, Kobe doesn't make the playoffs. Like, it's hard to lead a team by yourself if your roster is crap.
And listen, like, I make a big deal out of the money these guys get paid they need to be appreciative of.
Sure.
Regardless of where you came from or what your situation is, this is a huge amount of money to play basketball, and that's a great life that they lead. Now, they deserve it, and they've earned it, and they're worth it. Their market value is reflective of that, and I agree with all those things, but, like, when Eric Gordon was complaining about the Suns or the Hornets matching the offer, I'm always like, look, you had the, and this, I guess this does kind of apply to Love too, because I always wonder why they don't just take the qualifying offer and then go if they're that pissed off. But they need the money, and you want to get locked in. But probably with Love, I can understand it, because, you know, Eric Gordon didn't really earn the contract that he got.
Yeah,
and Love did earn that max, and regardless of how much the money is or what the context is or of how it works out, if someone came to you and said, if your boss came to you and said, well, you have been the best employee that we've had over the last 4 years, but we want to wait. We're not sure that you're worth it. We're not sure that you're worth really investing in. How would you feel?
Yeah, I mean, you would... If you've earned a certain distinction, which I said, you know, you can argue, hey, he's not a franchise player. I think that's stupid. And it was a question I had, you know, 2 years ago. But what he's done to his game over the last 2 years has convinced me he is. And the fact that there are a dozen teams out there, at least, probably way more, who probably had the capability of getting him and giving him the 5-year max and would have. If they're willing to give you a 5-year max, you are a franchise player. James Harden is a franchise player. Even if he was just a bench player last year, the best bench player in the league, but he was a bench player last year, he was still a franchise player because a team was willing to give him the 5-year max.
The Rubio thing, I think, is really bizarre, because what's happening is his quote about Rubio, and I don't have it on me, it was essentially him saying they wanted to save it for potential versus production. And Timberwolves fans were taking it as him bashing Ricky, and that's like not it at all. It's just a simple fact of Rubio could be great. He could be a top 5 point guard, and this is what you told me. Like he could be a top 5 point guard in 2-3 years.
Yeah, if everything breaks the right way, I think he could be a top 5 point guard in the league.
Kevin Love was, I think, 5th on my MVP list last year, and that was on a horrible team.
Yeah,
I mean, he is. When he is healthy and at his best, he is legitimately a top. In my opinion, he's a top 5 player in this league because he is unguardable. If you are fast enough to guard him on the perimeter, you are not big enough to guard him inside. And if you are big enough to guard him inside, he will torch you from the outside. And he's a rebounding monster. And his defense has improved enough.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, there are similarities there with Kobe. In reality, based off of the production and the scoring potential, and you throw in the rebounding, you know, the defense is kind of mixed, where it's good sometimes and bad sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, last night he was horrible, but he has become a very good team defender, I would say. His man-to-man defense is still extremely inconsistent. It's not, you know, he's not David Lee anymore, but he's certainly not Kevin Garnett.
Right.
But he, you know, it's improved. You would like it to improve even more. I would say right now he's consistently like an average defender, maybe a little above average, but that's probably being generous. But he used to be atrocious.
And when you project that, that's the hardest thing for guys, especially big men, to work on. You know, he will get there, and that's potential. But his production now is worth the money. And so I really can't understand. I mean, I guess part of it is just that he's complained so much repeatedly.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A big chunk of this is over the last year and a half, you've seen a lot, and this drives me crazy with him, is that he will think he gets fouled and complain and lag behind on defense because he's complaining to the ref as the ref is beating him up the court. And it's like, you need to, and Adelman has talked to him about this a lot, that you need to stop complaining while play is going on and wait for the dead ball.
When did we start talking about Dwayne Wade? I don't understand. You know, I think it's that plus, it's that perception plus his repeated comments in the media and the fact that he's visible and Khan is invisible.
Yeah.
And that creates this kind of situation where this is the perception being painted of him. There are, from what I understand, there are no coaches in this league that would say no to having Kevin Love because of his attitude.
Right.
There isn't a single one. And there are very few that would not trade their second best to best player to get him.
Right.
You know, if they put Kevin Love on the market,
you have 29 teams calling.
Yeah, there are 29 teams calling. That is absolutely correct, including the Los Angeles Lakers, including the freaking Miami Heat. So, and you know, and it's weird that it's heading in this direction, and maybe it'll blow over. I know that's your hope that it'll just kind of blow over, but
from talking to him last night, I feel like he's over it, and this could be either me being naive or him being a good actor, but he really seemed dumbfounded at the tone of Woj's article. Like, he was like, I said a lot. I mean, he repeated this a lot, not just in shoot around yesterday, but after the game. He said, I said a lot of good things about this team. I love this team. I love how tight we are. I love the talent on the team. And he even said, you know, I played terrible tonight. Last year, we don't win this game. Like, this is a much better team. And he's right. And he the quote about Ricky, it wasn't a good quote. You know, I think he's assessing the situation, but maybe it didn't come off the right way. But he even said yesterday, he said, I have no problem with guys getting paid. I hope Ricky gets paid. You know, I love Ricky. Like, that's what he's saying. He's saying the right things after the article, and it could just be damage control, but there was a lot of sincerity, at least coming forth, I thought, in the media shoot around yesterday and then after the game.
I mean, you are the king of Ricky Rubio adoration, and his return is tentatively reported to be Saturday.
Yeah, from what
and if he does in fact return, we'll have a big thing from you on Saturday. But even you are like, he's not Kevin Love.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you had to choose between Love and Rubio, you choose Love.
And you don't think about it.
And you don't think about it, and that was before the knee injury. You know, like, there's just, Rubio is a great complementary player because he can set guys up. He's a great defender already, or at least he was before the knee injury. Love is a star player in the league that you can build a team around. I don't think you can build a team around Ricky Rubio. It's really hard to build around a point guard. I mean, you know, Boston has kind of adjusted what they've done to being centered around Rajon Rondo, but Rubio's not Rajon Rondo yet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really a point guard who cannot shoot and doesn't score well. It's really hard to build around. I mean, the guy's got to be Jason Kidd, and Rubio's not Jason Kidd.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll have to see what happens with Love and that, you know, situation, and I'm sure he won't get traded. You know, I'm sure he'll be around that Spanish point guard Ricky Rubio for a long time. Where's Pau Gasol from again?
I believe he's from Estonia. I think that's correct.
I'm gonna keep floating that idea at you until it drives you insane.
I mean, I'm either going to burn down the Target Center or murder you. I think that those are the only two options.
It's not
evidence if it's a podcast. That's one thing. Evidence. Yeah, that's one thing I've learned. Is that I just link to this on Wikipedia and all of a sudden it's, you know, just conjecture.
Good batch of games last night that you were only around for half of.
A lot of game winners.
I actually didn't catch, like, I caught some of them and I was so, I was like muted from all the games. Like, I didn't pull the video for the Dragic game winner because I was just like, I was like, he looped it in, it's fine. Like, Memphis clearly was just having a crap game. Phoenix was rallying around the family. I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then apparently we need to get this morning. It was a crazy night though. The man, Golden State.
That
was a big win.
What was funny is I think Ethan Sherwood Strauss tweeted earlier in the day, "This is the biggest Warriors game in the last 5 years, or as the Heat call it, Wednesday."
Right. Draymond Green talks, runs his mouth at LeBron after a foul, and then hits the game winner because Jared Jack made a fantastic pass.
Oh, that was such a good play. I mean, you know, that's the beauty of Golden State is you have to overplay the shooters coming around the screens. Bosch was just stuck to David Lee on the weak side and bumps Curry as he's coming through, and then Green just slips that screen on the other side. And Jack had the sense to find him.
Jack has been so good this year. I want to find a place for him on Sixth Man of the Year. Like, the production of the other guys is keeping him off right now, but he has been...
He's so good.
He's so good, and I love the fact that Jackson's running out lineups with that lineup featuring... Because they ran some lineups late last night that were Curry, Jack, and Thompson.
Yeah.
And it's just... So, so good.
And Jack was great last year, you know, considering all of the things that happened with New Orleans. I thought he was fantastic, but he really is, not that he's not good enough to be a starting point guard in the league, but when he can be a backup point guard, you know, he's probably the best backup point guard in the league. I mean, that's tricky because of Andre Miller, because they kind of, you know, just play them together a lot. In Denver.
Put those two together. I put Eric Bledsoe there too.
Yeah, Bledsoe's up there. I don't think he's really that. I don't think he's good enough running a team.
Yeah.
Yet.
Probably. He's but a difference maker, but he's not as good,
exactly.
good at managing the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a huge win. They just, you know, they really just battled back, and David Lee's just playing so well right now.
He really is.
He and Curry and they've got weapons, and Mark Jackson's doing a great job with the rotations, and Carl Landry's contributing, and just a really fantastic win for them, and that's one where I feel like Miami played really well. They just didn't have the things just didn't go. Like LeBron had a look at the end that he hit crazier shots than that in a quarter.
Yeah,
yeah, that one very easily could have fell. It just didn't.
Someone
actually brought up the game winners, like a game winning stat at me last night. I was like, we're not bringing this back up. This thing is dead. It's over.
I wanted to ask you about Mo Williams, game winner, because I kind of just sat on my porch and watched the carnage, but that was your timeline. But you know, Mo Williams takes an awful shot in the previous possession, and or maybe it was the same possession. Did they get the ball back?
Yeah, it was the same possession.
Yeah, they got the ball back.
Dove and got the offensive rebound.
Yeah,
that was the game-saving play.
Yeah. Awful. And then he takes an awful shot. I mean, it's a bad shot at the end of the game. And nails it. And now it's, see, you don't know what you're talking about with Mo Williams.
I had tweeted previously two things about him. I was like, for the love of God, Mo Williams, get Al Jefferson the ball.
Yeah.
I decided to start calling Al Jefferson the Cookie Monster of Clutch, by the way.
Okay.
Because it just fits with him. I'm like, the way he looks, I'm like, oh, he kind of does look like kind of like Cookie Monster. And he's really, really clutch. And he was killing them. The Spurs, like, he was so good. Like, he was hitting like the one-armed hook and the drop step and driving. He got a steal and drove and dunked. Like, Jefferson's the guy.
Yeah, that Duncan Jefferson matchup was awesome.
Like, that he's the guy. And so Mo Williams takes that horrible shot. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, get the ball. I was like, no. And then, you know, I tweeted another thing, which was, is Billups on the back of your jersey and is it 2006? No. Okay, then get the ball to Al Jefferson.
Right. I wanted him to get the ball to Millsap, but I mean, either way.
And then he takes that pull up contested jumper. He runs ISO, lets the clock run all the way down, and takes a contested jumper and nails it.
It was funny because it got to the point where he, you know, it's like 4 seconds and he hasn't gone yet, and I'm just thinking, there's no way you think that this is a good idea.
No one thought it was a good idea. Mo Williams' mother thought it was a bad idea.
But he hit it, so it's a good shot.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
It's a results-based league. It's a good shot. The problem I have is I'm like, they're going to run that exact same set in Game 3 in the first round against the San Antonio Spurs. They're going to run that exact same set in that exact same scenario, and whoever's covering it is going to show the exact same highlight, and he's going to miss because it's a terrible shot and it's a low-percentage shot.
I didn't see any of this game, and I'm kind of like avoiding watching it. Explain to me the Dallas-Boston game.
It was really good, actually. The second half was really good.
Okay.
The second half was really good until overtime, and then both teams just ran out of energy. They just did not have it.
Okay.
They were really, second OT especially, they had no energy left. Dallas probably could have won the game, and whether it was Carlisle calling it or Mayo taking the initiative, they went to ISO Mayo too much. It worked so well to get them to overtime and to get them to second overtime that they just went to the well too much.
Yeah,
it's really one where you look at it and you go, I see Dallas in these games a lot where I'm like, God, if they only had like one more guy they could really trust in the position. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not being sarcastic. I also forget. I'm like, oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, they have one of the best shooters in NBA history sitting in a suit that's going to be back in a few weeks.
Right.
Oh, okay. Like, Dirk's on that. Dirk is in that game. They win that game pretty easily, honestly, because Boston didn't play great. Boston started out great offensively, and then backed off, and their defense played better, and then it switched again, and then basically they played pretty bad defense the second half, and then clamped down overtime and in second overtime.
I didn't see the game, but looking at the box score, 28 turnovers for Dallas. Is that just a double overtime thing, or
No, it was Mayo and Collison.
Okay.
They got out of control. They're still young.
Yeah.
And they just didn't, you know, it's a young team versus also Rajon Rondo kicked it into overdrive defensively. Like, he started a matchup with Mayo and he caused 2 steals. You know, he got burned twice and caused 2 steals. And
yeah.
So, you know, it's just a product of they're having to run a lot through guys that they know are getting the ball. Like, you're not worried about Chris Kaman. You're not worried, you know.
Right.
You're not really. Derek Fisher hit a big three late, but you're not worried about it.
That travel.
Oh, wasn't it amazing?
Oh my God! I was showing it to everyone I could find in the media section at the Wolves game, and they were dying. I mean, that was fantastic.
He was like, he got there and was like, "Screw it!" And he went for it. And then there's that moment where both he and Duncan stop because they're like, "Well, that's a travel."
He and KG.
He and KG, and like he and KG both stop because like, "Well, that's a travel."
Yeah.
And the ref doesn't call it, so Kamen's like, "Okay."
That's like the moment where you're not really paying attention. You kind of just like roll through a stop sign, not really paying attention, and then you look and see a cop there, and he's just like waves you on, like, ah, go ahead.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
And KG, like, they bossed, and the entire crowd just went berserk on it. And JVG, the call was really great from JVG, because JVG's like, well, I don't know. Like, I mean, let me see. I'm not sure it was a trial. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a trial. Good game, though. I mean, it got a bad rap late.
Okay. Because I was just following on Twitter. Hadn't gotten back yet.
Everyone was saying how bad it was, but it's mostly just that Boston got back into the defensive set. And that anytime that Boston goes into that mode, it's going to be terrible basketball.
Yeah.
That's just part of it. Spurs played well. You know, didn't have enough to close just because Utah really played well.
Yeah.
They forced turnovers. That Phoenix loss is hilarious to me. The Memphis loss to Phoenix is hilarious to me because that was clearly the Phoenix. I've seen this so much with Sacramento over the past 17 years. it's the coach is embattled, the roster's in trouble, there's all this question about the integrity of the team. do they, you know, the stars are unhappy. They've got to rally around one another and plot a victory for each other and come together as a family. And they win that game, and then they immediately go back to losing. Like, I feel pretty confident Phoenix is going to lose their next game.
Bees, 4 points, 11 shots.
Keeping the dream alive.
Dream continues.
Oklahoma City won a really... I'm always impressed with great teams that win games where they play terrible.
Yeah.
Even if it's against a really bad opponent like New Orleans, it was just that the Thunder were like, no, we're not going to lose this. Nope. We've played awful. We don't really care. We're fine with that. We're still not losing.
I think it's time we all admit it. Kevin Durant's good.
God, he's so good. So good. Yeah, I've got him as the number one on MVP this week on baseline awards, and he'll probably be number one next week. And that's him and LeBron are ostensibly tied.
It's hard to argue with, you know?
But yeah, he's just doing so much, and he's being so efficient and stuff like that. Chicago won a really big game, I felt like, against Philadelphia. That was a back-to-back road win. Drew Holiday just didn't have it late. He just really didn't have it. He's getting an MRI today, so we'll see if that was kind of part of it, but...
And they've got a, I think Zach Lowe tweeted this, they've got a brutal stretch coming up. Mm-hmm. Can't really afford to lose Drew Holiday.
Right. Indiana put the burners on, and Brooklyn put the burners on. Brooklyn was down like double digits versus Toronto, and I got like 17 tweets from Toronto fans being like, do you see what happens when Bargnani's out? Do you see? And then they went on a 31-19 run in the third quarter, and that was it. Thanks for coming. You were terrible. So I feel really awful for Toronto, though, because there's just nothing they can do. Because now Bargnani's out indefinitely, and Lowry's out 10 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully it's one of those where it's indefinite, and Bargnani's injury clears up, but it's a torn ligament, so probably not. And that's gonna murder their trade value, and there's just not – he can't make any other moves. He can move Calderon by himself, but he can't package anything with it.
Yeah. Back to the Pacers-Cavs game. I was just dying when I saw the video of Tyler Hansborough going after Tristan Thompson.
God, that was weird.
Because I really don't think Thompson threw an intentional elbow.
Right.
You know, I really don't think that was intentional. I think he's just swinging, trying to get the ball free. And it was just like, it was so weird. An overt like sign from Hansborough from Tyler that no one's gonna pick on my brother, but like right. No one is picking on his brother, and it's like you're gonna go after the really nice Canadian kid to like prove your point. Like Tristan Thompson seems shocked. He's like, wait, what? Why are you angry at me?
It's funny because my brother would just be like, nice shot, bro. Like. He just gave him the wink and the nod.
Right.
Good job.
Taught him.
Well played.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And now I'm excited that Ben Hansborough is the backup point guard, at least for the time being, because I want more moments like this.
The Brothers Hansborough, a novel. Houston gets a big win over – not a big win. Houston gets an okay win over Washington. Harden gets 31 points. Washington kind of hung in this game, and – John Wall's getting evaluated.
Yeah. I don't think the Wizards are as bad as they've been, you know?
No, I don't know. I think they are.
I mean, they're really bad, but I feel like they don't have any direction on offense because they've been going with A.J. Price and Sean Livingston. You know, like, I like Sean Livingston, but he's not a point guard. He's not a full-time point guard, and Jordan Crawford is not a point guard at all. And this is what they've had to go with. And I just think that John Wall will at least make them aesthetically pleasing because he sets guys up so well. You know, people say he's been disappointing since he got into the league, and maybe he has, but he is so good at setting his own teammates up.
I feel like there are two guys that are going to benefit from him coming back. If he comes back. It'll be Nene.
Andre Blatch and JaVale McGee.
Who will be able to get the pick and roll going.
Yeah.
Even though he hasn't been great in that set. If he's healthy. Notice where I'm going with this. And the other guy is Bradley Beal, who finally had he had 20 points on 15 shots. So that's his second pretty good game. He's starting to come around.
Yeah.
And that's really great to see. 6 assists as well for Beal, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and just 3 turnovers. That's really good. But Wall's not going to get Crawford to not take bad shots. He's not going to get Trevor Ariza to not be Trevor Ariza. He's not going to get Kevin Serafin to get back to where we thought he was going to be. It looks like it was just an illusion. Okafor, I don't think he's going to get that much.
I don't know that I agree with you about Serafin. Not that I think that Wall can set him up for easy buckets to get him going.
I just don't feel like any of the big men on that team outside of maybe Nene, and even Nene makes it harder than he needs to, really know how to operate in space with a point guard.
That's fair.
You know, and Okafor had a good game last night. 19 points, 12 shots, 6 rebounds. But I look at they are more of what they looked like when they made the Nene trade and what we thought they were going to look like when they made the other trade.
Yeah.
In terms of, like initially versus what we kind of talked ourselves into. And I just have a hard time believing, because here's the thing, like all the work that Wall may have done over the summer has probably been wiped out by the injury because he hasn't been able to do anything.
That's true. Which that's a concern. I mean, I still think, even if he hasn't improved, I still think he's a pretty good point guard, but that shot has to improve.
It's a serious leg injury. What if he can't? What if he's not? What if he loses a step and he's still not able to finish at the rim?
Yeah. Although maybe he goes too fast to the rim.
He does go too fast. It's been one of his problems. So yeah. I know where you're going. Like
maybe he loses a step and he gains some accuracy.
Yeah, but
what I'm saying is John Wall needs more knee injuries.
Right. That's exactly what will make that always helps with basketball.
Yeah, especially quick point guards.
Man, we got some games tonight.
3 of them.
Yeah.
Officially.
Well, kind of.
You sound excited.
I'm excited for the first one.
Bobcat Hawks?
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, kind of, yes. But I mean, seriously, I would kind of rather watch the Bobcats play defense than the Lakers at this point. I watched the 4-point play, which is out today, and you can find it on cbsports.com.
Yeah.
We do a big feature every Thursday. Pictures of the week, got some great gifts in there. Didn't have much for Locker Talk this week, not much quotes. A few of us had games. But I did do a whole thing on the Knicks and the Lakers in the transition game. It could get really bad.
Yeah.
Because the Lakers, the biggest thing I found when I was watching their defense, and let me tell you what a painful situation that was for me. I really honestly don't feel anything towards the Lakers at this point. I feel nothing towards them. But it was physically painful to watch their defense, especially their transition defense. C.J. Miles and Kyrie Irving literally dribbled up the floor. Like, nobody stops the ball. Nobody looks at the ball. They dribble up to the three-point line and shoot. In rhythm. And it's a Puget jumper, and that's very rarely a good shot, but when you're wide, freaking open, and they're not, like, this isn't a, they're running at full speed and really bursting to get open. This is a, they jog up to the line.
Yeah.
They calmly raise in the air, and they release, it's like a, it's a shoot-around shot.
And there are guys that, there are plenty of guys that the Puget is not a good shot for. Kyrie Irving is not one of them.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving is not one of them. CJ Miles is not this week.
Yeah, so. Kyrie Irving walks into a Puget, and it, you know, you're walking the other way because it's going through the net.
And so I'm looking at that. Melo will take those.
Yeah.
If they don't and I think that they'll probably D him up because Bryant will take it on himself to make sure, you know, the challenge to make sure Melo doesn't get off. But that's okay because their defensive rotations are so bad that Kidd's going to get open on the perimeter anyway. And then it's Kidd and Felton and Novak and whoever else. I mean, if they get out, if the Knicks do that, if they don't slow the game down, if they get out and run a little bit, just a little bit, and create some of that, unless the Lakers make huge strides within the past 48 hours, this is going to get ugly.
What would be kind of hilarious to me is if the Knicks got their first home loss tonight.
Wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't that be like the most appropriate thing though for this league for how things work?
Yeah, it really would, and it really wouldn't mean anything, but it would just be like Lakers struggling, reeling, the Knicks awesome at home, unbeaten at home, and then a random win happens.
And like one where like Kobe isn't even that good, where he's like at 24 points on 22 shots.
Yeah, like Darius Morris goes off or something.
Like Antoine, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like Jody Meeks ends up with like 35 points or something.
Right.
You know, just something completely insane. I think it'll be great to watch Dwight and Tyson, though.
That'll be fun.
Because one thing Dwight's been really bad in space out extended, but pick and roll defense in terms of just covering the roll guy, he's still pretty good.
And I love, you know, Tyson doesn't get many of these matchups, but I love watching him have to be the defensive leader and anchor everybody on the floor at once while having to guard one of the best big men. I mean, the best big men in the league tonight, but guys that can really score inside. I mean, that's a weird middle ground for him to kind of, you know, exist in, and he can do it. He's very good at it, but it's just fascinating to watch.
Also, and I'm going to Men of World Peace guarding Melo. These are two teams that are not afraid to get, well, not the Lakers so much, but
I thought you were going to do like a Darkwing Duck, like a Let's Get Dangerous.
Let's Get Dangerous. Because the Knicks are always ready to kind of scrap. That's a team that's got kind of an attitude about it. And Meta's insane. So, you know, I don't think Antoine Jameson's going to be leaping up to go over and help, but I think Meeks might. And Darius Morris has got a little bit of hot head in him, and Ebanks, so.
Jordan Hill.
Jordan Hill. Man, I was surprised because I was watching these things when they weren't hitting threes and they were giving up layups instead, because that's all they do, never stops. I was really surprised because Jordan Hill, his finish on getting back in transition is terrible. He doesn't run through the play.
At all.
If the guy's two steps in front of him, he's just like, eh.
He's like, ah, you got me.
Yeah, and it's one where it's like, say what you want about Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes will run that damn play down.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll foul, and sometimes he'll miss completely, and sometimes it's hilarious. But Matt Barnes is going to run that damn play down, and that's what Jordan Hill's got to do. Like, he's got to, you know, if there's even a slight chance that you can contest that shot, you have to push yourself, because that's what you're on the floor for.
What's the line tonight?
Knicks minus six. They're giving six to the Lakers. That's lower than I would have thought it would be. I thought it was going to be 9.5.
Yeah, that's a fair amount of points.
Not for how the Lakers have defended and how good the Knicks are. That's
which makes me think that it's a fair amount of points. Like, something weird's going to happen.
I would have thought it would have been eight, at least eight, if not 8.5. I really thought it was going to be 9. I thought it was going to be 9.5. But it's 6. Over-under is 206. So they're expecting a shootout.
Yeah, it should be a shootout.
Real quick, the Spurs are giving 7 to Portland at home. There's been no indication Popovich is going to sit starters. That's the only thing that could jerk with this, and I feel like their second unit could still kill Portland.
Yeah, this is just a thing where Damian Lillard's on national television. You hope he has a big game, because that's fun. I think that's the point of this game.
Every time Portland wins, their fans are like, no, see, this team's much better than everyone thinks. And I'm like, no, they're not. This is not. It's the same thing with Phoenix. I'm just like, no, this team is not good. No. Not at all. Same thing with the Cavs, honestly. Although I really, you know, CJ Miles is impressing me. Hawks are giving 10 to Bobcats. Seems high just because the Hawks haven't been great offensively lately.
Yeah, that's a lot of points. I don't know. The Bobcats, they're not playing terrible, but they, you know, they've lost, what, 9 in a row? I mean, they're very Bobcatsy right now.
They're very Bobcatsy right now.
A lot of Bobsies.
Who has more points tonight, Mel? Or let's do this. Who has more points tonight, Melo or Kobe? Who has more shot attempts, Melo or Kobe?
Kobe more points. Kobe more shot attempts. He's in the garden. He is going out swinging.
I'm giving Melo more points. Kobe more shot attempts. I think he's due for a clunker.
I don't know that Kobe is going to pass.
Right, but even if he shoots 40 points, it still has. he can shoot 40 times and still have 36 shots, 36 points, and Melo can have 42 on 20.
Yeah, that's true.
Melo's been efficient.
Yeah, Melo's right up there in that MVP race so far. I hate MVP races in December, but he's up there.
You need to embrace this because this is where the money is made, friend. It's snap judgments on everything. That's where we make our money.
I like to think that. My brief career so far has proved that I'm quite incompetent at making money.
Oh, no, that's better. You don't understand. The reason I do it is because I'm wrong, and then people will visit just to say you were wrong.
Yeah.
That again, this is where the money is made. Because when I say, you know, Melo is third in the MVP race and he winds up winning it, then I look like an idiot.
Sure.
But, yeah, he's I've got him third. He's like a half step behind the top two. Just because he's been doing more of the ISO stuff. Like, again, they've been doing more of the stuff we expected them to do.
Yeah. And those guys are just better. They've just been better.
Yeah.
Melo's been great. He's been up there, but they've just been better.
I mean, LeBron just absolutely took over that game for. We had another 6-minute stretch there where he was just unstoppable. But
you do not do that in Draymond Green's guest house. It wasn't his house,
right? And so, yeah. Anyway, good stuff. What else? Oh, who you like tonight? Next, do you like the Lakers to win?
I like the Lakers to cover.
I
don't know if they'll win.
They can build on this? Is that what you're telling
me? They can build on I think this is a close game. It's hard for me to go against Rasheed Wallace. I'll go Knicks. Lakers cover, Knicks win.
Lakers cover, Knicks win. Okay. Okay. I think I'll take the Knicks to cover and win. Unless Powell has a sudden activation, I don't think they have enough firepower to keep up with New York, and their defense is going to let them get away with it.
How about this? Knicks cover, Lakers win.
I was like, what?
All right, thanks, Matt.
Thanks.